fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And today I'd like to take up more of Romans chapter 8, which we talked a lot about last week. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, the first couple of days, did an interview with a young man from the Ann Arbor area here. His name is Joshua Fons. I've known him since he was a young man. He's currently a Focus missionary, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And the first couple of days, he just talked about how he became a Focus missionary in the process and what it's like being on a campus and reaching out to college students and really the wonderful and amazing things that are happening through Focus. There's 620 missionaries on 137 campuses around the country, and it's growing. It's an exciting missionary moment in the life of the church. Every single baptized Catholic is called to mission by virtue of their baptism. Called to holiness and called to mission. Those are the fundamental commissions and callings that the Lord has given to us. And guess what? For everything he calls us to, he gives us the strength that we need. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace that we need to be able to accomplish that to which he's called. And I thought that's exactly what Josh unintentionally communicated, to say how he discovered by stepping out and stepping into the mission and discerning God's call for him, facing his own fears and own sense of limitation, not knowing exactly what's going to happen, he is learning to trust God and to step into God's plan and purpose for him. And in the process, he grows as a young man, but also he sees the Lord working through him and learning all those amazing lessons that Jesus taught his apostles, like, without me, you can do nothing. And so we come to realize that on our own power, we can't turn one single heart to the Lord. We can't even turn our own heart to the Lord apart from God's grace and God's help. But that what the Lord calls us to is to trust him and to step into his call, to realize that he actually, as the church teaches us, and which is so clear through Scripture, we have actually been called, every single baptized person, to consciously engage the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Jesus' command to his church to go make disciples of all nations. And no matter how old we are, how young we are, whatever limitations we have, whatever education, financial background, every single person is called by God to do this. And we can do it, not because of the natural resources I have only, or because of the things I've acquired in my life, or that I may possess, or my personality traits. I can do it because the Lord has commanded me to do it, and he gives me the grace to do it. And so what's needed more than anything is trust, abandonment to God, an audacious response to God's call, a big heart, a heart filled with love, and a heart that, again, fundamentally trusts God and wants to obey him. Like Jesus said many times in the Gospels, but in John chapter 14 in particular, he said he wants the whole world. He told his disciples at a very intimate moment as he revealed his heart to them. He said, I do everything that the Father commands me because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. That's the heart of Jesus. That's what he wants to communicate. And the reason he said yes to the Father's plan for him to go to Calvary, to lay down his life for us, to die, to offer himself up as a sacrifice for sin, and to offer the Father obedience and love. So Jesus said to us, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And Jesus obeyed all the commandments of the Father and expressing his love for the Father. And so he wants to make it possible for us, each and every one of us, through the gift of the Holy Spirit and what we've been talking about, what I talked about last week in chapter 8 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, this amazing chapter that talks about how Jesus, through his passion, death, and resurrection, has given to us new life in the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the anointing of the Spirit that was on Jesus as he came forth from the River Jordan, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor, the great Jubilee year, the victory of Jesus Christ over the powers of sin and death, the gift of eternal life. He was anointed to make that happen. And his apostles now, and his disciples, all who become followers of Jesus, who are baptized into him, literally received that same Spirit. And it's because we've received the Spirit of God that we can now respond to the commands of Jesus to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to go make disciples of all nations. Those are commands from the Lord, and commands that on our own resources, we can't accomplish, we can't fulfill. But the great thing, and what we see in Romans chapter 8, is this gift of the Holy Spirit, which makes us a new creation, which makes us temples of the living God. The Lord gave power to his apostles to make it possible for them to fulfill what he commanded them to do. It's the same thing he wants to do with you and me. And it's what young Joshua was just saying on Monday and Tuesday, what he's learning as he steps into God's call and his command, that he obediently responds to what he's discerned is God's call for his life. And so right where he is now on that campus, he's an instrument of this current of grace that came from the heart of Jesus, that came from the Lord, this outpouring in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's helping other young men and women come to faith, to engage their faith. Today, lots of people are discouraged, the church, about the state of the church, right? And especially concerned about the state of millennials, the 18 to 30-year-olds roughly in there, and how many of them are disconnecting from the life of the faith. And as a parent who's experiencing a child in that place, it's a hard pill to swallow. It's difficult. It's heartbreaking. And some have come to the point of feeling like there's really nothing we can do, that the church doesn't really have the same capacity to reach people. That isn't true. That isn't true at all. The church has an infinite capacity for regeneration. Why? Because the church is united to Christ, who's conquered all things. He's at the right hand of the Father, where he reigns in glory. Moses said to God, he said, Lord, show us your glory. The Psalms tell us, ask us to pray that we could see the glory of God. When we see the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus Christ, which is the mission of the Spirit to help us see that reality, what happens is faith and hope and love come alive in us in a new way, and we grasp the reality of Jesus' power and the capacity the Lord has to capture human hearts. And we're not afraid of the Goliaths that stand in front of us or the giants that are in the land, but we go forward knowing that, yes, we are weak, we're small. We know that the Lord manifests his power in our weakness. And so the key is to believe and to receive the Lord and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to step into the Lord's command radically with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the reason we can do that is revealed so deeply here in Romans chapter 8, the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. And what we ended with at last week was talking about in verse 13 of chapter 8, Paul talks about how we're given in the Holy Spirit a power now, a principle of dynamic grace and power within us that's given to us in our baptism and confirmation to overcome the work of the flesh in us. What's the flesh? It's that power within us, the fallen nature, which the church calls concupiscence, which attracts us to what is evil, attracts us to our own will, that is to just rely on our own will, to say, my will be done, not God's will be done. It's to love ourselves above all things, not the Lord first and our neighbor, but to love ourselves above everything else. And it can lead to an inordinate self-love, which gets preoccupied with concern for myself, deep self-concern, desiring, what about me? What about my comfort? What about my success? What about my honor? What about my glory? All of that. Instead of finding in Christ through this gift of the Holy Spirit, which Paul says we are adopted sons and daughters of God, this new identity as men and women who become sons and daughters of God. St. John the Apostle said he gave us power to become children of God and are able then by the grace of the Holy Spirit to come to understand ourselves anew, that the fundamental value of my life comes from the fact that I'm made by God, I'm God's idea, I'm known by God, and the hope I have to live every day and to find meaning in life every day is the fact that knowing that my life has value. And my life has value because I'm valued by God. My life doesn't have value just because of the things I can accomplish or the important people I might know in life. My life has value, and it's unchanging because God's love for me, God's commitment to me, his covenant relationship with me, his delight in me as a son, his desire to forgive me and to make me whole, and by virtue of the grace of his beloved son Jesus to bring me into a family relationship with him in the church, this is unchanging and it will never change. So the anchor of my identity, the ground of my security as a human being is knowing that I'm loved, valued by God. He made me, and what he made is good. I'm not good on my own resources, but what God intended for good, the enemy, seduced our parents, Adam and Eve, into not trusting the good God and led us to come under the domination of the power of sin and death, which Paul addresses really throughout much of Romans. But he gives his son to us to bring us back to him, to show us the way home and what it means to live as a child of God. And so Jesus, who conquered the flesh, Jesus, whose power and his dying and rising to new life, he conquers all that's set against us, the world, the flesh, the devil, conquers the powers of sin and death. And he gives us a new capacity and a new power to live a new way of life in the Holy Spirit. So here we have in Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh any longer. He said, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. And so what's Paul talking about here? You will die. He's talking not just about natural death, which comes as a consequence of the power of sin, but he's talking about what Scripture describes as the second death, eternal separation from God. If we die in the flesh, in dominated by self-love, attached to sin, we're going to inherit sin's destiny, which is condemnation. But as Paul said at the beginning of this passage, this chapter, the very first sentence, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the judgment on sin has already taken place on the cross of Calvary. Sin has been condemned. So Jesus comes to each one of us and says, look, I want to save you, and I want to bring you home to the Father. But to make that happen, you have to see the work of sin within you and your resistance to my Father and to his will, and to repent of it and to turn to me and let me take your sin and let me destroy it, let me crucify it, and let me give you my Spirit so that you can pass from death to life and you can share in what belongs to me. Jesus is the only one who has the power and the capacity to give us a share in eternal life. That's why he's the only Savior of the world. Verse 11 from the same chapter earlier, he said, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the heart of Christianity right here. Christianity is a new life in the Spirit. It's not just a morality. It's not just a higher form of spirituality. It's not just dogma and truth. Dogma and truth describes this fundamental reality that Jesus has transferred. He's given his life, the life that conquered the power of sin and death, to every human heart who opens himself or herself to it. He offers eternal life. He's come to make you a new creation, not just to correct your path that you're walking on, but to make you something entirely new, to make you a new creation. That's the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue this. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.